What do you get when you cross a rooster and a duck?
I don't know what.
A bird that gets up at the quack of dawn.
You're tuning into the Children's Hour. This is 89.9 KUNM and KUNM.org. Live and local from the University of New Mexico.
What a morning. This is Katie Stone. This is the Children's Hour here on KUNM in Albuquerque, broadcasting live off of the top of Oñate Hall, a studio full of furry and not-so-furry people, including my good buddies Anna.
Hi, and hi. I brought a friend named Phoebe.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you here. Do you go to school with Anna?
Yes.
Yes. Nice. And Julia, good morning.
Hi, Katie.
Hi there. And Liliana, you're here somewhere. Liliana just left.
And my sister's coming. Nola's coming, but she's late.
Good. I'm glad she's coming. And Megan Kamrick's looking for a piece of paper that's actually on the counter here, Megan. Anyway, I just want you to know, in listener land, we have a whole lot of guests in here, but also the girls have been working so hard on producing part of the show for you today. Tell us about it, ladies.
Well, we're going to talk about spoonerisms.
Yeah, we're going to introduce
which are
spoonerisms to you. And it's like an error in speech or a deliberate play on words.
Well, isn't it a tip of the slung? I mean,
slip of the tongue, yes.
Yeah.
And later in the show, we'll read some poems from the book Runny Babbitt.
And from the other book I brought.
It's about spoonerisms. And
we'll tell you what spoonerisms are and where they came from.
And Jonathan Wolf here in the studio, Dr. John. Sorry.
Good morning.
Good morning. Or we could call you Jonathan Jolf. And hey, Jonathan, what's up with the balloon, man?
Well, if you remember last Saturday, we were here and Laurie McGovern from the Balloon Museum was talking about this amazing world record-breaking flight that our friends were about to embark upon.
Troy Bradley. And the guy whose name no one can pronounce from Japan.
Leonid Tyutyayev.
From Russia.
Exactly.
Tyutyayev. Oh, thank you, Leonid. We can do that.
So Leonid is a prominent Russian balloonist, and Troy is about the most famous American balloonist out there.
Yes.
Just a super nice guy. And they took off exactly a week ago, almost, last Saturday afternoon. And they have been flying for an entire week, if you can imagine, in a helium balloon.
I hope they still like each other.
Exactly.
It's like a long road trip. But
we saw a little model of the capsule at the Balloon Museum, and it was very small. It's about the size. It's about the size of a queen-size bed.
Okay,
maybe even a little smaller.
Wow.
And shorter, so you can't stand up inside it.
It's very short.
Wow.
So they've spent a week trapped in this little box, although I think they were really standing on top of it on the outside. It was very cold, but they were
kind of to stretch.
Yeah, well, and to fly the balloon.
That's
also
really terrifying. So what happened? They were inflating, and we were watching this on pacificballoon.com, I think.
Correct. Pacific Balloon. Pacificballoon.com. That's where we were following the flight, and you can still find the statistics of this amazing adventure. I'll just recap it, because just about an hour and a half ago, they landed right at Baja, California.
Okay? Ooh, beautiful.
So an amazing adventure. They've flown so high and fast and far. They were up over 20,000 feet much of this flight, and they were flying at about 50 miles an hour. That was kind of an average speed, which is really fast in a balloon.
Wow.
And they flew 10,696 kilometers.
In miles.
That's 6,646 miles.
That's crazy. That's the longest anybody's ever flown, in any balloon, right?
No. The previous record in a helium balloon was 5,200 miles. So they beat that by over 1,000 miles, 1,400 miles they broke the record by. And they also broke the duration record. So they broke the two biggest outstanding world records in all of ballooning, distance and duration, how long they were up for. And that was just amazing, 160 hours in the sky. We are so proud of these guys.
Oh, congratulations to the Bradley family here. And I bet they're now in Baja. Hey, by the way, if they're flying at 50 miles an hour, as someone who's worked on a chase crew and been in a balloon, how do you land when you're flying at 50 miles an hour?
Well, that's a great question. Of course, they don't necessarily land at that speed.
Oh.
When they're up high, the winds go faster, right? They're flying in the jet stream, and they're moving as fast as they can because they want to cover thousands of miles of Pacific Ocean. When they come down, the winds tend to slow down. So I don't know all the details about how fast it was going when they landed at the surface, but they're really experienced pilots.
That is so great.
Yeah.
Wow. Pacificballoon.com if you want to know all the details of what's going on.
I just want to point out it's really wet this morning also.
Oh, yeah. You're still in bed under the covers, it's been snowing, and especially if you're down by my house in the valley, you're getting big old snowflakes down there.
Me and Phoebe woke up to the snow just coming down so hard, and it was really big snowflakes, and it stopped so suddenly.
Fabulous. Well, thank you, Jonathan, for that recap. Fascinating.
Super welcome. I'm just so proud of the whole family. You know, we've met Bobby Bradley,
the youngest balloon pilot in the world.
It's true. He broke that record when he was 9 years old. And then his sister, Savannah, is also a pilot. She's 15 now. But they were all in Tokyo, actually in Saga, Japan, for the takeoff. So
I hope they made it to Baja for the landing.
Yeah,
I hope so.
It was super fun adventure.
One shall see. Well, wow. That's so exciting. And Albuquerque makes history one more time. And we're going to talk about history making right here in the studio. We have folks from the National Museum of Nuclear Science and History here to tell you all about some classes for kids that are just starting up. We're so excited to hear about those. And it's a very special day for Animal Humane of New Mexico. A friend of ours is here in the studio, Mr. Darcy. He He's never shaved. He's like taller than the tables. Is it a Mrs. Darcy? Oh, sorry. Mrs. Darcy. Oh, my. Sorry, Mrs. Darcy. You know, it's the beard. It throws you off every time. We're going to talk with the Animal Humane about their fabulous time. But I wanted to let you know about something else really special that happened this week. For those of you who have been fans of Sly and the Family Stone, they're sort of a cool funk band from, you know, many, many years ago, 70s and such. You know, he was a legendary artist. But he was somebody who ended up getting kind of he got kind of burned by his record producer, who basically took all the proceeds from every Sly and the Family Stone record ever sold. So Sly himself had ended up being homeless outside of Los Angeles. And here's some great news for old Sly. He got awarded damages this week against the production company who had basically stolen all of his royalty money from all of his work. And Sly went from being homeless this week to having $5 million. And we're pretty happy for Sly. We love Sly, especially this one. This is the Children's Hour here on KUNM. Keep with us.
Bye.
repartee is the Kinks. That's from Muswell Hillbilly's Legacy Edition CD. And before that, you did hear Old Sly in the Family Stone. Now a millionaire, finally. Very vindicated. Well, you are tuned to the Children's Hour here on KUNM. Always a pleasure to be with you. I'm Katie. And in the studio with me are Rachel and Jennifer from the National Museum of Nuclear Science and History. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
It's really great to have you, too. You all have a big, big event coming up next week, and you've got new classes that are coming in the spring, and I just want to hear about everything. But first of all, tell our listeners a little bit about the museum. What is this museum?
We are the National Museum of Nuclear Science and History. We are a Smithsonian-affiliated, congressionally chartered museum. In our museum, everyone is welcome, and it is, we tell a little bit about nuclear history, science, medicine, engineering, energy, pretty much anything you could think of, but we focus a lot in our education department, where Rachel is just the power woman for all of our education things. We focus a lot on STEM education, so science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
And for all ages.
All ages.
And it's very, your museum is very hands-on, and it's not just about nuclear energy. It's about all kinds of different energy production.
That is correct.
Yes.
Yes.
And so what's happening next week?
So next week is our big event known as Discover STEM. And so Monday through Friday, we'll be welcoming about 200 fourth through eighth graders from all over the Albuquerque metro area for different events, different themed days through the week, where they are invited to interact with scientists and engineers in our community. And then on Saturday, this event is opening up to family, and we'll have over 20 different presenters from organizations that represent science, technology, engineering, and math in our community. And that's for visitors of all ages, scouts, families.
Next time, what's the time next Saturday that y'all have your big event? Is it 9, 10?
10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Yes. The museum is open 7 days a week, 361 days a year.
Wow.
But this event, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and it is, we have scientists and engineers from all over the city coming to do hands-on experiments and activities.
How fun.
Kids. Oh, it's so much fun.
Oh, I love it. And then I was reading your information online and saw that you all offer spring break camps. And though spring break might seem like a long way away to kids, parents know it's around the corner.
It is.
So tell us what you're offering for spring break for kids.
Well, one thing, we do camps during when APS is on a scheduled break. So spring camp, winter camp, and then, of course, summer camp. We're also doing on special one-day camps on President's Day. So February 16th will be one as well.
Coming right up.
It is. So we follow APS's schedule. But spring camp, we're actually doing some newer camps that we've never done before. And Rachel, our brainchild.
So we've got themes like Starstruck and all kinds of exciting things for kids. We've got, for President's Day, the theme is Method to the Madness. So we've been talking about different famous scientists throughout the ages and their cool inventions, and then talking about how we can be inventors and scientists too.
Wow, I love it. And so for folks who want to have more information, you all are located on Eubank, south of I-40. And for folks who want more information about the museum, what's your website?
It is nuclearmuseum.org.
Great. And a phone number they can reach you?
It is 505-245-2137.
The big party is next Saturday.
Saturday, February 7th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And again, it's families with kiddos of all ages, students, scouts, definitely. And we have patches that are Discover STEM Day 2015 that we will give out to any kiddo that comes in and experiences all of the activities.
How fun.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Children's Hour this morning. Nuclearmuseum.org is the website, and that sounds like a blast next week. And you don't have to miss the Children's Hour because it starts at 10 a.m.
Yes.
Thank you for being with us on the show this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Katie.
This is Sarah Hickman from her Big Kid CD. Oh.
Schematic square where
this is a story of a famous dog. But the dog that chases his tail will be busy. These are clapping dogs, rhythmic dogs, harmonic dogs, house dogs, street dogs, dogs of the world unite, dancing dogs.
George Clinton. Why must dogs chase the cat? Honestly, what is up with that? Before that, you heard Radiation Man by Sarah Hickman from her kid's CD, Big Kid. And the folks at the National Museum of Nuclear Science and History can be reached at nuclearmuseum.org. You can learn all about their programming. You are tuned to the Children's Hour here on KUNM. And in the studio with me, Mrs. Darcy. And Mrs. Darcy's owner, or human companion, we should say, Ellen. Good morning, Ellen, from Animal Humane New Mexico. Welcome to the Children's Hour.
Thank you for having me. Good morning. I'm thrilled to be here. And Darcy seems pretty pleased to be here, too.
Darcy's pretty cute. We've been tweeting pictures at twitter.com/KUNMKids, and you can always follow along as we're on the show. Let's get right to it. Ellen, you all are celebrating your 50th anniversary. What a huge deal that is. Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, absolutely. We're absolutely thrilled about it. You know, Animal Humane was founded in 1965 by a couple of really caring individuals who wanted to help their community, and look at us now. It's exciting.
It's a fabulous place. I have animals from Animal Humane myself, and And boy, oh boy, you're doing something so cool today with kids. Tell us all about it.
Absolutely. I'm really excited about this. Today is our first event for our 50th anniversary. We're doing a Kids and Pets Day. And this is just a phenomenal topic. What we're going to be doing today is starting at about 2 o'clock, we're going to have an event for kids at Animal Humane. And what we're going to be doing is doing one of our typical humane education lessons. It's called Be a Tree. And it's all about teaching kids how to be safe around dogs. Some skills that a lot of kids maybe don't know.
Well, I have to tell you, a big confession here to all my listeners. When I was 5 years old, I didn't know how to be safe around dogs. And I went and petted a dog, just walked right up to it, petted it, and the thing bit the tip of my nose. And in fact, if you see me now, FYI, as I get older, the scar, look, the kids are all like crowning around. The scar is much bigger. I still have a nose.
Oh, yeah.
But I got bit in the face, and it's, you know, dogs may look really friendly, and this was such a friendly-looking dog, by the way. Had kids in the house.
Yeah, absolutely.
My dad had a scar on his ear because he went up and he just went in there without just without warning the dog, and he bit his ear. And I, like, my parents always say, like, you need to let them sniff your hand before you pet them.
And even
and
before
we went,
that,
we
you need to ask if it's, like, people know if their dog's going
to
bite you.
We need to ask if it's nice and can we pet him or her. And the other night we were at a somebody's house, and there was this kind of blind dog named Roxy, and you couldn't just, she was very sweet, she'd never bit anybody, and she knew us, but you couldn't just go in and pet her. You'd have to kind of come up and, like, pet her ear and, like, say, I'm here or something.
Absolutely, and that's really important. One of the things that we like to try and help children explore is the reality that to keep ourselves safe, and most importantly, to keep our relationships with dogs really good, just like you experienced with Roxy, we sometimes have to think about things from the animal's perspective, right? That's really important. So Be a Tree kind of helps kids do exactly that. You know, how might a dog see something? Like, for example, how many of us pat dogs on the head? Most of us, right?
Well, it's so soft and furry
up
there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And pat yourselves on the head real quick, guys. Can you see your hand?
Yeah.
Do you think that might be scary for a dog?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so these are things that we just maybe don't think about. So that's what Be a Tree is all about. It's about helping us explore some of those things. And the reality is it's a great topic because, Katie, you brought up a great example. I got bitten on the butt as a child by a dog. That was very exciting.
No one could see your scar.
Well, and I do have this beautiful scar under my eye
from
my very beloved childhood cat.
Even cats.
Cats are more grumpy.
Cats are sweet and they're wonderful. But I got my scar after breaking up, guess what, a cat fight. My cat was pretty upset when I picked him up. So it's just one of those things where when we can help kids avoid these bites, and about 50% of all of our children get bitten by a pet before the age of 12.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of those bites are not what we would consider very severe bites. But they are bites. And so if we can prevent them, we can keep our relationships great.
I was scared of dogs then, from 5 years old almost all the way through adulthood until I got another dog. I had a parent who insisted on having a dog. And it forced, and the dog loved me best, of course, like the one who doesn't love the dog best.
Right.
That's always how it works. And that really helped. But at the same time, you know, that breed, West Highland Terrier, is the one that bit me.
Mm-hmm.
I see a Westie, and I do not want anything to do with a West. And you see, that's unfair, because sometimes they're really friendly.
Yeah.
And sometimes the sweetest-looking dogs are actually the ones who bite.
Oh, absolutely.
So this is happening today at Animal Humane.
Kids
are welcome. How old?
So this is really ideal for kids over the age of 8. And we do have a space limit on it. So it's going to be 30 children. We highly encourage you to sign up beforehand on the website. But if not, swing by. We're happy to have you there no matter what.
The website is animalhumanenm.org. This is a fabulous program for kids. Today only. And it starts at 2.
It starts at 2. And the thing that we're also really excited about is after the presentation for the kids are going to get a chance to go back with our humane educator, a wonderful woman named Gina, and do some other really cool activities. And while the kids are doing some other really cool activities, parents get to hang out with me. And we're going to look at kids and pets interactions and relationships from the point of view of animal behavior. And that's going to be a great presentation. I'm very excited about offering
that. Today at Animal Humane. Animal Humane is located here in Albuquerque, 615 Virginia Southeast, just south of Lead Coal. there on Virginia near Wyoming, just one block
west of the Wyoming base gate, basically.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being with
us,
Ellen, once more time
so
on the Children's Hour, and for bringing your pal, Mrs. Darcy, who's so polite she's not even going to bark, but she's beautiful. What is she?
Darcy is an Irish Wolfhound, and she's one of our visiting dogs with Animal Humane New Mexico. We offer humane education throughout the year in the form of education in the schools, education at our campus, and also our summer camps, which are coming back this year, so keep an eye out for our summer camps. And Darcy is an example of one of the visiting dogs that kids might get the chance to meet during one of our humane education presentations.
And I have to admit, I walked right up to Darcy today and just, like, got down on my knees and hugged her. Maybe I need the class. I think I need the class.
I think it's a great class for everybody. It's a great class for everybody.
I just wanted to point out that Darcy is also huge. She is one of the biggest dogs I have ever seen, and I have seen a lot of big dogs.
Nobody has ever accused Darcy of being too small. That's very true.
Not a lap dog. Or at least maybe in her mind.
Yeah, definitely not what we might think of as a lap dog, but she does like sitting on people. So.
Thank you for being with us today on the Children's Hour. We really appreciate it. AnimalHumaneNM.org for all the information.
You're listening to the Children's Hour. This is 89.9 KUNM and KUNM.org. Live and local from the University of New Mexico.
And Spoonerisms.
Lore Yissening, Zuda, Ilgen's Chower, Loven Lykel, Thum Fra, University of New Mexico.
Love the biopark? Then share a biopark experience or adventure by uploading a video to abqbiopark.com or tag images and comments, hashtag LoveYourBiopark. Tell the city of Albuquerque why the biopark is important to the community. For complete details on uploading a video, visit abqbiopark.com. A message from the tax-exempt ABQ Biopark.
Was vintage Ruth Delmarco singing.
A spoonerism is an error in speech or deliberate play on words in which corresponding consonants, vowels, or morphemes are switched between two words in a phrase.
It is named after the Reverend William Archibald Spooner, who lived from 1844 to 1930, warden of New Mexico College, Oxford, who was notoriously prone to this mistake. Three cheers for our queer old dean rather than dear old queen, which is a reference to Queen Victoria.
It is customary to cuss the bride as opposed to customary to kiss.
The Lord is a shoving leopard instead of a loving shepherd.
A
blushing crow as in crushing blow.
A well-boiled icicle as in well-oiled bicycle.
You were fighting a liar in the quadrangle as in lighting a fire.
Is the bean dizzy? Is the dean busy?
Okay, so we have a book here that is a great example of spoonerisms. It's called Runny Babbitt.
And I also brought a book, The Oxford Guide to Word Games, which has a little section about spoonerisms in it. So we're going to read a little bit from that, and then we're going to read
the
two poems from Runny Babbitt. So The Reverend William Archibald Spooner was warden of the New College in Oxford from 1903 to 1924.
He is best remembered not for being head of an Oxford college, but for his supposed habit of transposing letters at the beginning of words, producing what have become to be called Spoonerisms. Okay,
now
so
we're going to read
from Runny Babbitt, A Billy Sook by Shel Silverstein. Okay, way down in the green woods where all the animals all play, they do things and they say things in a different sort of way. Instead of saying purple hat, they all say herple pat. Instead of saying feed the cat, they just say seed the fat. So if you say let's beat a rook, that's Billy as can see. You're talking Runny Babbitt talk, just like Mim and he.
So now I'm going to read one called The Funny Bamley. Runny had fat a hamley. Matter of fact, he had a souther and two bristers, a dummy and a mad. His mama fed him mortar click, merit click, and kick, and parrot kai, and such. And all of them were happy in their cozy honey bunch. So those are the two poems we were going to read, and there are also some things we'd like to tell you about Spoonerisms. So there are that's just one kind of Spoonerism. There are actually several other different kinds of Spoonerisms that I'm working on trying to learn. And
there's Spoonerisms that you don't want to say, like, I'm not going to do it for you, but you wouldn't want to turn fire truck into a Spoonerism.
That's true, yes. Especially on the radio.
Yes.
And especially on the Children's Hour.
Yes. And so
That's crazy.
We just wanted to tell you guys a little about Spoonerism.
I love it. Here is the story of Rinder Sella, and this is by Jim Haynes.
This Terry Fale is fractabunt, but I know it off by heart. Tunsil on a pime, that's how Stary Stories fart. A gritty pearl called Rinder Sella, she was made to suffer by her two sigly upstairs and a stickered old wet mother. One day a herald came from the callus of the ping. He had a heather in his fat and pansy fans and everything. He put a lumpet to his trips, he blew a crumpet toll. Then he said the Pransom Hints was going to hold a bansy fall. Well, the sigly upstessers put their bansy fall gowns on. They put fake up on their maces, grabbed their handbags. They were gone. 'Cause if you went to the bansy fall and danced with the Pransom Hints, you might end up a princess prairied to a mince. Poor Rinder Sella didn't even have a farty proc. She dressed in rurty dags, and she wore no Susan shocks. But she heard, Kadabra, abra, when the others had all gone. A Gary Fodmother appeared and whipped out her wagic mond. Rinder Sella's rurty dags became a gownless evening strap. She had two flippers on a seat and a matching hag and bat. You shall go to the Bansy Fall, but I must tell you something. Be home by the moke of Stridnight, or you'll purn into a tumpkin. There was a lovely smuff of poke. Gary Fodmother was gone, and Rinder Sella stood there with a Bansy Fall gown on. So off she went to the Bansy Fall and danced with every fella. She was so beautiful, the sigly upstesters didn't Cinderize recognella. She danced with the Pransom Hints, thinking no one would believe her, 'cause her stickered wet mother didn't Cinderize recognella either. Then the Pransom Chintz said harmingly, I'll give you anything. Course you can, said Rinder Sella, your caddy is a ding. Then she heard the moke of Stridnight, and she felt the panic grip her. But as she ran away, I'm afraid she slopped a dripper. The Pransom Hints picked up the dripper. Rinder Sella slopped. Bum cack, he cried. Bum cack. Rinder Sella, stop. Next day, he cured the tingdom with a slopper that was dripped. He tried it on the sigly upstesters, but of course, it fitted it. Fiddin' Dit the stickered wet mother at Fiddin' Dit no one. But it suddenly fid dit when Rinda Seller tried it on. There's a moral to this Terry fail if you're a gritty pearly. You'll get your prancer hints arriving late and leaving early. Get happy and live maridly ever after, never fails, because everything is fractabumped in those old Terry fails.
Oh, howdy, Professor Pippentopper, Toppin' Tippin' Toover, Pippin' Pooferman. No, that's a capper, a tee, a teehee, or a... But the Pooford, Professor Pitty Poofer, what do you know about laughing? What do I know about laughing? Ha! Hoo-hoo! Ha! Ha-ha-ha!
Everybody laugh! Ha-ha-ha-ha-ha! In the same language.
Hee-hee-hee-hee!
Everybody laugh! Same for you, same for me. I saw this guy in Paris, France. He was laughing when he saw a clown in baggy pants. Sounded like a friend of mine in Carolina. He laughed exactly like a guy out in China. Everybody laughed.
Hello, stranger.
Hello there, stranger.
Does this road go all the way to Little Rock?
I've been standing here all day, and it hasn't gone nowhere yet.
Hello, stranger.
Hello again, stranger.
Your corn looks awful little and yeller.
I planted the little yeller kind.
Hello, stranger.
Well, hi there, stranger.
I don't believe you're too far from a fool, are you?
Believe what?
I said I don't believe you're very far from a fool.
No, that's right, son. Just this guitar and mandolin here between us.
Hello, stranger.
Well, hi, stranger.
How'd your potatoes turn out?
They didn't turn out at all. I had to dig them out.
Hello, stranger.
Well, hello, stranger.
Can't you see that your roof is leaking? Why don't you fix it?
Well, right now it's raining too hard, and when the sun's shining, why, it don't leak.
Thank you. Have you lived here all your life?
Not yet.
Hello, stranger.
Hello there, stranger.
You're not very smart, are you?
No, but I ain't lost.
It's roaring with pain, as in it's pouring with rain, and wave the sails, as in save the whales.
All right. Fighting a liar, as in lighting a fire. Know your blows, as in blow your nose.
Oh, those are awful and wonderful. Thank you so much, girls, for doing the Spoonerisms with us today. And, hey, for all of you ports... Oh, my gosh. Forts Spans. This Ports Fans Sports Sands is for you. This is Weird Al.
Your sports team is not inferior. That simple fact is plainly obvious to see. We're gonna kick your collective posterior. Of course you realize we're speaking figuratively. Our stats are thoroughly impressive. Our coach really has a mighty smash. Our players are fast and strong and brave. And you're nice, not so much. In fact, we play teams across the nation, and you're the worst one we've come across. Assimilate that information, and it just might help you cope with your impending loss. Oh, and if somehow we are still failing to effectively articulate the points at hand, allow us now to summarize them in.
Hot kayaking at the Hotel Cascada has started up for kids with disabilities and their families. If you know someone with a special need, including autism, cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, muscular dystrophy, MS, spina bifida, traumatic brain injury, cancer, any other special need, tell them to come as you are and join the kayaking at Hotel Cascada. There are plenty of openings. Advanced registration is highly recommended to save time. The registration link is kayaknewmexico.org/hotel-cascada. Or just go to kayaknewmexico.org and you'll find all the information. And at the Bakeki Open Space at Rio Grande and Alameda Boulevard in Albuquerque today from 10 to 11 a.m., the Bernalillo County Open Space is releasing their 2015 seasonal sightings along the Rio Grande calendar. Free calendars, woohoo, will be distributed following a short program about observations of nature and bird migration. And then tomorrow, the Family Fun Program is a drop-in program from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and it's being operated by the Cottonwood Gulch Foundation. And this is all happening at the Bakeki Open Space on Rio Grande Boulevard right at Alameda. And this is the last chance this weekend to see two great pieces of theater. Alice in Wonderland is the musical comedy being performed by the Enchanted Rose Theater Company. It's happening at the African American Performing Arts Center. That's here in Albuquerque on the grounds of Expo New Mexico. And if you'd like tickets for that, it's today and tomorrow, abqtheater.org. And by the way, theater is spelled T-R-E. T-A-B-Q-T-H-E-A-T-R-E.org. And also, A Wrinkle in Time is being presented by the Vortex Theater. It's that classic young adult novel about a high school girl transported through space and time. It's today and tomorrow at the Vortex. For more information, vortexabq.org. And if you're up in Santa Fe, you can check out the Watermelon Mountain Jug Band. They're playing tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. at the 2nd Street Brewery at the Rail Yards. And then our good pal Joe West in the Santa Fe Review is playing at the Cowgirl tonight starting at 8:30.
It's time for the K1M Kids Birthday Club. Happy birthday if today is your birthday. Happy birthday to Indigo Austin from Santa Fe. He turned 11 years old on Thursday. Hope it was a happy day for you, Indigo. Happy birthday also to Sullivan Lyman from Albuquerque. He turns 2 years old tomorrow.
Happy birthday to Sienna Allen from Albuquerque. Sienna turns 8 years old on Thursday. Indigo, Sullivan, and Sienna are in the KUNM Kids Birthday Club, so they get a present in the mail from us. It's easy to join. Just email kunmkids@kunm.org with your birth date and mailing address. The club is open to kids 12 and younger.
We love having you in our KUNM Kids Birthday Club. You could also join at the Children's Hours page at kunm.org, where you'll also find playlists and podcasts and lots more. We love your comments that you give to us. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just search for KUNM Kids. That's all one word. And you can stay tuned today for Folk Roots with my good buddy Claude Stevenson, and that will be followed at noon by Women's Focus with Carol Boss. You have been listening to The Children's Hour right here on KUNM. We'll be back with you next week. Another great show lined up for you, and of course, excellent programming all day today on KUNM. It's a great day to just sip a cup of tea and stay warm, or go skiing, or go sledding, or play in the snow. I got a call from Hamas, from Glenn, our buddy up there, 6 inches and still falling in Hamas Springs, New Mexico, and a foot up in the mountains up there. Stay warm. This is the Children's Hour. Stay tuned for Folk Roots.